Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Quit it now!
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5, welcome into the bullpen on this most glorious day. Gentlemen, we've made it. Your life is has meaning again. The Royal Rumble is here. I think I talked to mostly non-wrestling fans at the table. That's okay. Me and Sports Entertainment, Sean, this is a holy day for us. Cam and John may not join in on the festivities. That's all right.
I'm ready to rumble.
Oh, that didn't sound genuine at all, Cam.
Also, you're going to get sued for that.
Yeah. Michael Buffer on line one. You might want to have your lawyers ready.
He doesn't say, I'm ready to rumble. He says, are you ready to rumble?
Now you just said it. Okay, Cam is sued.
Can you dump that joke?
Sean and I just walked right into that.
He didn't say it like him, though, so isn't he okay?
How does he say it, John? Can you do it like a really good impression?
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
See, John didn't fall for it. Cam did, but... All right, Cam. Well, it's nice knowing you, because you're about to be sued by Michael Buffer.
Good luck getting all that money that I don't have that's going towards school.
All right, welcome to the show. We will have some, because it is Royal Rumble Saturday, we're going to have some run-ins from some other hosts at the stations and at the station and folks you might know with their Royal Rumble picks. I don't know exactly when they will happen, but they will be calling in and interjecting themselves into the program at some point. Along the way, we'll also talk Texans. Obviously, a lot going on there with their OC hire that I thought would have been wrapped up by now, but is dragging into next week. The Rockets have been on fire. The Astros are seemingly a mess with this situation of will he, won't he with Alex Bregman. And, of course, an hour or two, we will have Mount Rushmore plus one. But let's start with the Texans. And if you want to join in the conversation, give us a call on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. And I guess I should mention, if you want to find us all on Twitter, I'm at Sack by BMAC. Sean is at Sean A. Mapes. Cam is at a Clutch City Cam. And Johnny Behind the Glass is at Third Coast Johnny. So I'll start off just saying with this Texans OC thing, I give D'Amico Ryan some credit because I think it shouldn't be lost on us that in a lot of situations that we – across the NFL, where you had a head coach who had a relationship with an OC. Like, they went back together in San Francisco. Bobby Slowick said when he came to Houston that he wouldn't have left San Francisco for anybody else but D'Amico Ryans. And they have two 10-win division win seasons. There's not a lot of, I think, organizations and head coaches that would have had the, I guess, guts to fire their offensive coordinator who they had a relationship and they'd had winning seasons with.
That's why I don't know if we talk about on this show, but I know throughout the station we're talking about it going into playoffs. What does Bobby Slowick need to do to
save his job?
Yeah. Or does he even need to save his job?
I think a lot of people thought he was safe.
Yeah, under what circumstances would he get fired? And we all thought that it would have to have been a terrible performance, probably in that first wild card game against the Chargers. Obviously, they did enough to win. It was a slow start, but they got things going.
They won that game, Cam.
Can we stop living in the past, please? To the future.
So
you sounded choked up there. I do think that they get a little bit of credit or some credit for actually making the move before they absolutely had to make the move. and not going not into really, it next year with them.
I can't remember who at the station said this, but I completely agree. Yeah, I mean, if it was wise, it was probably you. If it was dumb, it was probably – I'm not going to go there. But I think this – the MO of this organization – as we've seen, I mean, how long did Gary Kubiak get before they finally let him go? How much mediocrity did Bill O'Brien go through and bad trades? And, like, they just kept running him out there. And this guy has a past relationship going back to another team with D'Amico, plus two 10-win division win seasons, two seasons where they win playoff games, and they still fired him.
Yeah, no, there's only really two – and this is mostly for head coaches, but it's for a lot of the staff – is you have to be either – bottom of the league in your side of the ball. You have to be the 30th ranked pass defense to get fired, or you have to be a head coach that goes 2-14 or what, 4-12.
O'Brien was 0-4 when they fired him midseason. But yeah, like, I mean, Capers had a 2-14 season when he got fired. Same with Kubiak.
Yeah, so it has to absolutely
bottom out,
go all the way to the stud. So to view the team coming off of two 10-win seasons, two division titles, and still fire the young up-and-coming, or, you know,
believed to be up-and-coming,
back at the bottom, you know, offensive coordinator that you have a previous, like, that is a different Texans organizational shift.
Cam, were you in favor of the firing? What did you think of the move overall?
I mean, I was in favor of it, and I wasn't surprised. I mean, I think we brought up a quote a couple weeks ago from Joe Mixon where he said that, you know, the window is like 2 to 3 years. And so you can tell that this team in the past has kind of dragged out, obviously not the last couple years with all those head coaching firings after a year, but in the past it seems like they kind of dragged out firing people that needed to be fired a year sooner. So props for them for just being like, no, our window's now, and if you're not helping this team, then you're out of here. So
yeah, they looked at as one person in the media would call him, Booby Slowick, and said, your time is up, my time is now. The franchise is here, and I'm shining a shout-out to John Cena. Sorry, there's going to be a lot of wrestling references today. It can't be helped.
I was thinking about who would be so mature to call him Booby Slowick.
Well, wasn't there like a little bit of adversity between Stroud and Slowick? Like
that was Lance reported that on.
He dropped that bombshell
on Tuesday. Yeah, and I think the thing with him in not getting along with his OC at Ohio State had been out there. I know I'd heard Joel mentioned it before Lance's bombshell, but Lance dropped the bombshell that apparently in the pre-draft visit, I guess Bobby was trying to go over some things with CJ. And he would go over a concept, and CJ would be like, yeah, we called it this at Ohio State. And apparently that happened one too many times, and Bobby lost it. I was like, well, it doesn't effing matter what you called at Ohio State. We call it this, and got up in his face. And CJ didn't back down and got up in his face, and they had to be separated.
And then afterwards, CJ's people were like, yeah, we met with the Texans. Texans probably not going to draft us.
I would almost 100% guarantee that, because apparently from what Lance has said, like the next visit, like you said, they asked him, hey, how'd it go? And he said, terrible, I'm not going to be drafted there. That's 100% the Colts, right? Because we know Lance's boys with Chris Ballard. That's got to be
I don't know.
I mean, not that that matters to the overall story, but I'm thinking that's got to be the Colts
they drafted fourth that year.
So. Yeah, so, I mean, he would have been in it. It's a chance. Stroud would have had conversations with the Colts, and we know Lance has an inside track there. But, yeah, look, I mean, it's certainly interesting. The drama is fascinating, but ultimately it didn't seem like it kind of mattered because, I mean, from the pre-draft visit to when the season started, obviously they would have had time to cool down. And I never saw anything on the sideline where they were ever up in each other's faces. You never heard any bickering through the media. Like, they kept it very cordial or just completely buried it and, like, squashed it.
Well, for CJ, I mean, outside of obviously, we've seen him get emotional when it comes to his teammates. Yeah. But for the most part, he keeps his composure on the sideline. So I would never expect to see CJ getting into it with Bobby in front of, like, the cameras, but who knows what goes on when the cameras aren't on these guys. So.
And, again, this is just when the cameras are on them in front of a microphone, but in the Monday after the Chiefs loss, they asked C.J. Stroud about, you know, consistency at play caller, and he said, like, yeah, there's guys that their first 3 years in the league, they have three different play callers. Like, I couldn't imagine ever doing that. I would never want to do that. So he, at least... at least publicly got out there and supported or gave some defense for Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, absolutely. So who's next? The next Texans OC? Let's get into that part of the conversation. Oh, really? We got a breaking news. How is Sean Mapes? Now I've heard success. You just won a national championship at College Football 25. So you're taking that success at East Carolina and you're going up to the pros,
moving up the ranks.
All right, you can pay for my for when I get a fined.
No, you're on your own.
I don't have Michael Buffer.
Yeah, Texans OC doesn't pay defend yourself against Michael Buffer money. I'm sorry, man. You're out on your own. But the list of names they interviewed, I'm going to go through the names I think pretty much have no chance, and then we can get to who's actually in this. But some of the names they've interviewed, someone on their own staff, Texans senior offensive assistant Bill Lazor, no chance.
Pew, pew.
Syracuse offensive coordinator Jeff Nixon, which I think is interesting. Syracuse offense was good this year, but I think it's too big of a step up from the ACC to the NFL, or at least after 1 year. Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback coach Thad Lewis hasn't called plays. He's down. I thought what was interesting with him was his connection to Chip Kelly, but we know now Chip Kelly's out, so that's not going to happen. Minnesota Vikings assistant offensive coordinator Grant Udinski again has to call plays because Kevin O'Connell's the play caller there. And Commanders assistant head coach Brian Johnson, who was a play caller in Philadelphia, not this season, but the season before, the only season when the Eagles didn't get to the Super Bowl in the last 3 years and their offense sputtered and they went like 1-5 down the stretch. So.
Okay, who's to say what the reason?
I think the connection is pretty obvious there. So I think those five names are out. And so is Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly's removed himself from consideration. I think what we're really looking at, because you look at the rest of that list, it's not that impressive, to be honest. There are some guys that I think are going to come up, like Jeff Nixon and Grant Udinski. There's some interesting things there, but they're guys that I don't think are ready to be at this level. What this tells me is probably even before they fired Bobby Slowick, they already had their guy. And they're just kind of going through the process of, you know, checking off all the boxes with the NFL rules as far as who they interview, and maybe getting a look at some guys they might want to bring onto this staff in a similar position, depending on who they hire. But I think it's down to either Gerard Johnson, who's been on the staff as a quarterback coach for the last 2 years, or Nick Cayley, who is a Rams passing game coordinator and tight ends coach, but has connections to both Nick Caserio. He worked in New England. They went to the same college. And the Texans interviewed him for OC 2 years ago when they eventually hired Bobby Slowick. So I think it's down to one of those two guys. If it is one of those two guys, what are your overall thoughts on the process and what they landed on?
I can't decide who I would appreciate more on this team, but I feel like Johnson has such a connection with everybody. And
From Humble.
Yeah.
Went to A&M.
And I can't remember where I heard this or read this, but somebody was saying that with Aaron Glenn going to the Jets, it sounded like the Jets were interested in interviewing Gerard Johnson for the OC, but the only way that you're able to keep Gerard Johnson on the staff and interview him is by getting rid of Slowick. So my money is on Gerard Johnson over Nick Cayley, but at this point, I think it's 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, at first, I do just want to appreciate that they have cast a wide net on
this.
That they have.
Maybe that's what this is, but like,
talk to a lot of people.
Most of this list is kind of eh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's like some great candidate out there, though. Like some candidate that would have knocked our socks off other than Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly was, yeah, my top guy.
Yeah, but other than that, it's a lot of like, well, I don't know, never seen him Maybe. Call plays.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of these guys that haven't called plays.
Either never seen him call plays or they're Brian Johnson and Bill Lazor and we've seen him call plays.
Hard pass.
We've seen him call plays.
Like most of these guys, like my reaction would be either kind of meh to, okay, we'll see how it goes. The exceptions to that would be Bill Lazor or Brian Johnson. If those were the guys that were hired, I would be mad. Like those would, be objectively bad hires.
I think Jeff Nixon would be a bad hire. I mean,
it's risky. It would definitely be risky, but I mean, we saw what he did. I'm blanking on the Syracuse quarterback's name.
Kyle McCord,
transfer from Ohio State. Syracuse, obviously not known as the football powerhouse, and they had a great offensive year. So I'm intrigued by him.
And he has coached in the NFL before.
Right.
He has some experience at this level. I actually think most of his experience is in the NFL, and he called plays for Syracuse this past season. I actually wouldn't mind him, and also just like the offensive shift. That's another thing.
It's kind of the worry about Gerard Johnson, isn't it?
Like, exactly. And with Kaylee to a certain extent, because
of the New England connection.
Yeah, New England and McVay, and then you're going from a Shanahan offense to a McVay, more McVay guy. It's just I
wouldn't mind Kaylee because at least it's not a rubber. Like, I guess this is kind of why I have the concern with Gerard Johnson. I mean, I expect him to be his own man. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I don't like the idea of taking someone from inside an office that was dysfunctional and then just promoting someone within that offense that was dysfunctional and making him the new play caller. Let's hope Gerard is his own man, does his own thing, and is not tied to the Bobby Slowick San Francisco-style offense, because clearly that had some flaws. But it just has that feel. Like, it's not a great look. Whereas Nick Kaylee, I know Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, it's not the most drastic differences in the world between the two styles of offenses, but I would still feel, a little more confident of trying new ideas.
He's an outsider.
Yeah, hire. Trying new ideas.
It sounds like this is like a similar comparison to what the Cowboys did, just promoting within.
I mean, kind of. I mean, that's Jerry Jones is a whole separate circus, and we'll get to that later in the show. And let's carry some of this conversation over. We're a little over for the break. So when we come back, we'll continue this offensive coordinator conversation as well, get into maybe a reason for pessimism for the Houston Texans, and maybe a Royal Rumble run-in. We might have a call or two along the way between now and the end of the show, and of course, Mount Rushmore plus one in the 1:30 segment before we get out. All right, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5, the Bullpen. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. This is the Bullpen, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, Cam Smith, and our man John Belmer behind the glass. Again, if you want to hit us up on anything right now we're talking about with the Texans, we're getting into the Astros and Rockets later, or you want to give us your Royal Rumble pick, give us a call or a text on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We got a countdown. Is someone coming in? Who's going to be? John, do you know who is?
I don't know.
Wait, okay. Well, let's go right now to the HRMP listener line. Who do we have on?
Look in my eyes. What do you see? Brian, Sean, Cam, how are you guys, man?
Wait, who do we have on?
It's RJ.
RJ! Oh, welcome back to the show. Sean is surprised. He's flabbergasted over here. RJ, how's Jacksonville? How you doing, my man?
Oh, man, Ben, it's a whirlwind to know that I'm back here in Jacksonville. I mean, it just feels like yesterday I was with you guys doing the bullpen. I miss you guys, love you guys. You guys know that. I still bother you guys from time to time and check you guys out on Twitch all the time. I'm so proud of my boys, so proud of what the bullpen's doing. How you guys been, man?
Well, we're good. You know, I mean, I wish you were here and not Cam, but
that's really good.
I kid. We would do a four-person show. I kid. RJ, so tonight's the Royal Rumble, the most holy of days in the calendar right. of the pro wrestling community. What are your picks for tonight, sir?
My picks for the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, your men's winner, your women's winner, and who wins Cody or KO in the title, the world title
so
match?
So the pick for the men, I'm going to go with the guy whose intro music I sung. I'm going to go with CM Punk, although...
Interesting.
Mr. McDonald, I will say my sleeper pick is going to be that of Randy Orton. I think, you know, because he's three Royal Rumble wins away from the record. I don't think he's going to catch John Cena, but I think if he won the Royal Rumble, he would tie that of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He would.
Give me my sleeper choice, Randy Orton, but my winner is going to be that of CM Punk. For the women's side, I think she comes back tonight. WWE's favorite daughter,
Becky?
Charlotte Flair.
Oh, Charlotte. Okay.
Will be your women's winner of the Royal Rumble. I think people will boo. Maybe some people will cheer. Who knows? And in the Cody Rhodes Kevin Owens matchup, I say Cody wins, but Kevin Owens eliminates him from the Royal Rumble later on that night. So give me CM Punk, Charlotte Flair, and Cody Rhodes as our three winners.
It's just sports entertainment. Sean, would you like to break down the picks? What do you think? What do you think of RJ's selections?
I mean, you can't complain with any of the. They're well thought out, well reasoned.
See, RJ doesn't know how big of a sports entertainment fan Sean now is. It's he has upped his sports entertainment watching since you left, RJ.
Yes.
Thank you. RJ, can we get a Liam Cohen inspired Duval real quick? Just to honor.
Right, here we go. That's just for this freaking nerd. he's such a nerd, man. Oh, my God. It made me cringe so hard when he did it. Oh, it's not going to make me do it. Ah! Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Duval.
That was solid. Thank you.
Was that Liam Cohen that we had on? That was sounded Liam like Cohen. Liam Cohen.
He embodied the spirit of the new Jacksonville Jags.
Let me tell you something, Sean. If the Jags beat, I'm not saying we are. If the Jags beat the Texans, oh my.
Okay,
God.
Okay. Hang up on this, RJ's just talking nonsense.
Bye, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Get him out of here. What are you talking
throw
about?
Him
Jags going to beat
throw
the Texans.
Him over the ropes.
So yeah, throw him over the top rope. Both feet hit the floor. He's eliminated. Take your ass back to the locker room.
Taking a step back. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
No. All right. We appreciate you joining us, RJ. Quickly before we get out, I mean, I think I know what the answer is, but sometimes fan bases can talk themselves into something being good when it's objectively terrible. How is the fan base treating this Liam Cohen hire?
As of right now, a lot of people like it. It's different. He's the young guy. He's supposed to be the smart football mind. He took a guy like Baker Mayfield and turned him around to where he was able to get a head coaching job and make Baker Mayfield look like the quarterback that is a serviceable guy and that can get a contract from the Bucs or even from another team. Just with the job Liam's done in both the pass protection as well as the run game. So a lot of people thinking that it's going to help here with Trevor Lawrence, and he's going to try to hire a young staff. So I'm not getting excited. Listen, we have a saying here in Texas called "Fool me once, shame on you." Fool me once, you can't get fooled again. So,
thank you, W.
I'm going to hold off on my excitement for Liam Cohen probably until training camp, and then I'll probably call the bullpen and say we're going to kick your ass.
Okay, all right, for real, hang up on him now. We're talking Jaguars. All right, thank you, RJ.
Thank you, RJ.
Talk to you later.
Appreciate Love you guys, man.
See you guys. Liam Cohen. I mean, we will hear from Liam Cohen later in the show. I can't get behind the excitement there.
If you can separate his
goofy, how goofy he looks,
the peak of his personality that we're able to get. Yeah, if you can separate that from his resume is fine. I have no
qualms. Part of the problem there, though, is like, because that's come in kind of the talking point is what RJ said. Like, they're giving him credit for Baker. But Baker had been turned around the year before. I'm blanking on the guy's name.
Dave Canales.
Yes, Dave Canales. He had hired or turned around Geno Smith, then went to Tampa, turned around Baker, and then got the Panthers job. And second half of the year, turned around Bryce Young. I mean, Dave Canales is 3-for-3. I don't know why we're giving Liam Cohen credit for Baker.
I guess he
kept it going. Maybe the numbers got even better than the year before, but he didn't really do the turnaround.
I think he was also the OC in
Kentucky with Will Levis.
He helped develop Will Levis. Right. Got to give him credit for that. You got to. Don't look at how it ended up. But
okay. Stop, I was going to say how
stop,
he developed
stop
in Kentucky.
The count.
Yeah.
Stop the count.
The second he left look, Kentucky. Yeah.
Well, you can't even look at a senior year. You have to,
junior year at Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, he developed him enough that one Jeremy Branham fell in love with him.
He did.
So
he did.
You got to give him credit for that. He was also the OC of the Rams when Baker was there.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah, and joined halfway through the season. I think he was I think that's where they overlapped initially.
I didn't realize they'd had a run in because Baker wasn't with the Rams very long. So
no,
he
got like half a season.
He got cut by the Panthers and joined them
there like half. I know the week one that he was there, he played like with 3 days. Like he got cut and played 3 days later for the Rams.
He like showed up on Monday, played on Thursday.
Yeah, it was something insane. All right, so we got sidetracked there by our first Royal Rumble run-in, but I appreciate that visit from R.J. Saunders, former producer of John and Lance and a member here of the Bullpen. But let's quickly, before we have to hit another commercial break, we talked about in last segment that, you know, it kind of feels like it's down to Gerard Johnson or Nick Caley. Who do you guys prefer? How would you feel about those hires if indeed one of those two guys are the choice?
I mean, I said before, I like Gerard Johnson. I mean, I get the concern of promoting within. I like Caley too, but I think Johnson just has too much chemistry, and CJ is his boy. I'm interested to see, like, are they going to include CJ in this hiring process? I know you can't always.
I don't want them to, because that feels like you're walking the line of what we kill when you hear things about how involved quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers get involved in kind of like picking the staff. I know I'm not in any way saying CJ is doing what Rodgers has done or what Deshaun Watson tried to do is before the stuff obviously came out with the massages where he was trying to pick the GM and then got butt hurt when he didn't have his choice. Like that, you're kind of walking a thin line of crossing over into that territory. So I check with CJ's just to make sure he doesn't hate the guy. But other than that, I'm not letting them make the choice.
I get that, yeah. Well, I guess for me then, I'm leaning Johnson.
Sean?
With the news that – or not news, but with the expectation that they're bringing Cole Popovich back to replay – or I guess promoting him.
Yeah, oh, my God, another guy promoted from within, but yeah.
That's the tiebreaker. I agree with everything you said with Gerard Johnson. Like, I think he's a good coach. I think in a different circumstance, I'd want him to be the offensive coordinator. It's just that if you fire your O-line coach and your offensive coordinator and you promote from within on both positions – I don't love that, so give me Nick Caley.
Yeah, I lean Nick Caley too.
Just as like the
I just want some new ideas. That's really the main thing, especially since you're like Sean, you pointed out. Thank you for reminding me that they're promoting from within the offensive line coach as well. So, I mean, it feels like even despite firing your OC, you're kind of running it back if you promote and Gerard Johnson to OC.
There is some, you know, I don't know if it's full on reporting or just some noise that Popovich was actually like one of the guys in the building that was not down with how
Bobby?
No, the O-line coach.
Oh,
Strasser.
Strasser, yeah.
He was like actually like butting heads with Strasser. So that's at least like in a funny way. That's good.
He was the dissenting voice.
Yeah, of an awful, terribly coached O-line. So I'm not out on Popovich or Johnson individually, but bring them both and promoting them both, that's where you lose me.
All right, Charles, I see you on hold here. If you can hold with us for 3 minutes, we're going to take a break. We'll come back to you on the other side and just the conversation after that phone call, probably into the Rockets, who have had a rough loss, certainly the way it ended against Memphis, but have been certainly over on a tear since January started, going back even really further than that. But Bullpen will be back in a couple of minutes. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back into the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Thank you for joining us. We've spent the most of the first two segments talking about the Texans' next OC hire, the decision-making there. Had a Royal Rumble run-in. I expect a few more before the show's over. But if you want to join us like caller Charles is joining us, give us a call or a text on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So let's go right now to Charles on the HRMP listener line. Wants to talk about the Jaguars' new head coach. Charles, what do you got for us?
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. I might have misspoke about the Jaguars' head coach, but the Texans' OC position.
Oh,
I don't know where we are as a fan base really going with that. It's kind of I feel like this is what happens when you give, like, ungrateful people nice things. You know, like, even though we did a bad job with the second year, Bobby Sloak, I feel like you should get some chance to rebound. You know, I get it, we get impatient, but just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. If you spoke on it, I might have missed it, but, yeah, I just, come on, what are we really talking about at this point?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, Charles. I think part of it is that it is a very whiplash effect of how the Texans, like, have run things. And normally they give guys, you know, a lot of runway. Some would even say too much runway. And this is the first time that they really operated like a cutthroat or cutthroat-ish organization with a coach. So, yeah, I do understand that it is crazy to be like, two-time division winner OC. See you later, dude. But
yeah,
you had to change something with how this offense performed. The offense, you know, all the way back to August, July, we're talking about this team is like the offense was going to drive this team's success, and how could they scrap together a good enough defense to be at the top of the AFC? And in reality, they were 100% flipped, and they're a defensive team that could only move the ball really in the first half and just enough to scrape by.
And that drop off, I think, is the whole reason why you got fired. Like, I get Charles's reaction. Like, man, this guy was a hot head coaching candidate. Hell, he even got a head coaching interview with the Jets this year, despite the drop off.
Yeah.
But I mean, we were, Jets. And then not just us. I mean, this is a national media conversation as well, putting the Texans offense and their wide receiver trio and CJ Stroud. And into like the top three of their position groups, or their Super Bowl odds overall. And to have that sort of drop off from year one to year two, it's just hard to look at Bobby Slowick and think, okay, can he get us to the next level when you reach the exact same level 2 years in a row? And beyond that, I think specifically what got him fired, and I get the idea that it feels overreactionary because you still won 10 games, you still won the division, you still won a playoff game, shout out to Cam's Chargers. But the offense in Bobby Slowick just took so long. I know, I'm going to get shot. I'm still going to get shots at all. You got a long time to next season starts, brother. But the offense, and specifically Bobby Slowick, was just so slow to adjust to everything. I mean, how far into the season was it before they seemed to have a handle on the twists and stunts that got pressure like that off the snap, you know, the entire way? We saw, I remember in the Cowboys game, just a complete lack of situational awareness. I remember they were going in, it was like the last play of the third quarter. They were up, I think, seven or maybe even two scores at the time. And they're running hurry up and passing the ball instead of just letting the rest of the quarter run out. And then we see the trick plays, like in the playoff game against the Chargers. One of the few negative plays they had was when they tried a halfback pass to Mixon, and Mixon had to pull up and ends up fumbling it. And there's, you know, obviously more examples we can talk about and bring up if we had time to think about it. But it just feels like Bobby was just, there was not only no progress, but he was just way too slow. Oh, the Chiefs game, when they in the second one in the playoff game, how many times in a row did they have to have their tight end get beat by a Chiefs pass rusher on the edge before they decided to not have the tight ends lined up solo on a defensive end? It was, I think, at least three sacks in a relatively short amount of time before Bobby Slowick adjusted and stopped trying to block.
Karlaftis.
Yeah, Karlaftis. Before they stopped trying to put Dalton Schultz on, or Karlaftis. So, look, Bobby Slowick obviously had a great first year and deserves credit for helping CJ develop, but CJ took a step back, and he was just way too slow to adjust to things.
Yeah, I mean, like, going back to what I said, like, I'm not surprised that they got rid of Slowick, but, like, I can see Charles's point of it's only been 2 years, and, like, we see this a lot of times in the league. Like, it's hard for quarterbacks to develop any consistency when every other year you're getting, like, a new OC. So, like, I can allude to the Chargers. Herbert has had, what, four different offensive coordinators in his 5 or 6 years of playing. Like, it's hard to, like, develop when every year it's going to be a new guy and possibly a new system. And then also, I get the point of view if you wanted to argue, well, this team was beat up, like, offensively. O-line was beat up. They lost their receivers. But, and also saying that, it is up to the OC to be able to adjust to injuries
and be able to like move forward even when your team is depleted. But we didn't see the Texans' offense get any better at all. Like, I get 2 or 3 weeks struggling with injuries, and then you start to turn things around. But they were at one plateau position the entire time. And so that's why I'm not surprised. But if they had brought Slowick back for, you know, third year's the charm, I wouldn't have been surprised either. So
yeah, I wouldn't have been shocked by it. So, I mean, look, I get, again, like you said there, Cam, and I thought you put it well. Like, I get Charles's reaction. Like, it's tough to say a guy who was a part of offense that wins 10 games, a division, and a playoff game back-to-back years deserves to be run out. But when you have invested that much in the offense... Oh, we have another run-in!
What?
What? Who? John, you know who this, Cam?
How could I know this?
I don't know. Like, who's coming out?
Jiminy Crickets.
All right, let's go out to HRP listener line. Who do we have on the line right now?
It is I, none other than the Coachy.
The Coachy! Oh. Coachy, you've called in before, the Coachy. Welcome in. You have a Royal Rumble pick for us?
Not only do I have a prediction, my friend, I have a spoiler for you.
Okay, Paul Heyman. Settle down, Paul Heyman. Is this Paul? Wait, I thought this was the Coachy. Is this Paul Heyman? Ladies and gentlemen, are you going to hit us with that at some point?
I do advocate a lot, mostly the Golden Corral, but I do love to advocate.
Mostly for their chocolate fountain. But yes, what do you got for us, Coachy?
Okay. The spoiler is Cody Rhodes versus KO. Cody Rhodes wins, right?
Yeah.
Got to go to WrestleMania. Don't know who he's going to take on, because the winner of the men's Royal Rumble will be none other than the man who will get to main event WrestleMania for the first time, the voice of the voiceless, Mr. CM Punk.
That's two. We've had two people call in, both pick CM Punk as the Royal Rumble winner. All right, I like it. What about on the women's side?
For the women's Royal Rumble, the Coachy is spoiling the fact that it is going to be none other than a returning Jade Cargill.
Ooh,
that's going to be my long shot one. Spoiler.
Okay, I like that, the Coachy. That's interesting. I wasn't sure if she was healthy or not. Our previous run-in picked Charlotte Flair, who's also returning from a long absence, even longer than Jade Cargill. Interesting.
You know what? I've just been hit by brilliance.
Okay.
I'm actually gonna change my pick there, McMahon.
Oh, okay. Whoa. All right. A little Jerry Lawler moment here. What's going on?
I've been saying for the longest time, everybody knows me, everybody has said it, that I am a big AJ Lee guy. Everybody has said there's no bigger AJ Lee fan than me.
People have
AJ
said
AJ Lee
that.
Is returning. And AJ Lee is winning.
Wow. Okay. Wow. AJ Lee, the wife of Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk, is winning the Royal Rumble. That is interesting.
Yeah. I can see the storyline writes itself.
It's going to be a Brooks event tonight. Phil Brooks and AJ Brooks. Well, he's fantastic, whatever. But still, either way, they're going to win. Okay? That's what's going to happen. That is the spoiler for you.
Well, thank you, Coachy. Where are you going to be watching the show tonight? Is Golden Corral airing it? Do they have TVs up there at your local Golden Corral?
Literally with my mouth right under the chocolate belt.
you are a health code violation waiting to happen, Coachy.
Oh, and I am also going to predict that none other than Mr. R-Truth will enter the Women's Royal Rumble again and make it to the top four.
Well, I think he did that last year. Am I right, Coach? I think R-Truth did that gimmick last year, but I would certainly welcome him. He is always a great bright spot, a comedy relief, if you will.
He did, but this year he will make the top four.
Wow. Okay, so he's throwing women over the top. I don't know if that's a Me Too violation there, R-Truth going in the Rumble and throwing all the women out.
It's going to be quite a sight to see. The Royal Rumble is a time when any possibility can happen, sir.
Oh, you have any other predictions for us before? Or, sorry, any more spoilers for us before you get out, Coachy?
Any more spoilers for you? Yes, I do have another spoiler. I'm changing my pick yet again.
Oh, my God. All right. Who's winning the Rumble now?
It's going to be none other than the queen herself, because Becky Lynch is on the shelf. It's going to be Charlotte Flair.
There we go. Okay. All right. So our third different
because
pick now.
Somehow,
if we give him enough time, he'll just pick everyone who's in the Rumble.
Can I do that?
Yeah. I mean,
I think we'd run out of time.
I think we might run out of time before the segment's over, but I hate to even ask.
I still haven't even gotten to my pick of Nia Jax yet.
Okay, hang up on him. If you're going to say Nia Jax, okay, John, hang up on him. We cannot let someone come on these airwaves and pick Nia Jax to win the Royal Rumble. That is, no, I'm not going to stand for that.
Right. Well, I'm not picking her to win. I'm picking her to injure somebody.
Oh, okay. Oh, see, now that tracks. That would be that would fit with her MO and what's happened in the past. I hate to ask this because we're up against it, but do you have any more spoilers for us?
I do not have any more spoilers okay. for you. That is wow. my time, ladies and gentlemen. And on that note, I am the coachee, and my cholesterol is higher than yours, and you know it.
All right. Well, thank you, the coachee. That was a little wrong company there. He went with an MJF line there from AEW, which, by the way, before we go out, I said, Sean, we got to talk about this. We got to be quick, but we got to talk about this. Because the Costco guys had been Team AEW. They wrestled at Full Gear. They've been doing the videos. They had them bragging about the coaching hire of Liam Cohen.
Five big booms for Liam Cohen. I don't think RJ agrees.
And now there's a picture of them holding the WWE title. I mean, I don't know. Is love real anymore? I mean, I feel bamboozled. What's your take on this?
You know, these guys.
You think you know somebody.
Maybe this is just to build a little heat for the next time AJ steps in an AEW ring. I don't know.
Now he's the outsider.
Exactly. He's going up against corporate now.
He can be the NWO in this situation.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I like this. Cam, you have any thoughts? Sorry, Cam. This is going to be a rough show. There's going to be a lot of wrestling today, buddy.
I agree with everything that you two have said.
Okay.
Cam sustains. All right. That. We got to get out. We're way past the break. On the other side, I don't know, maybe some NFL, maybe some Astros or Rockets. We'll find out what it is when we get back in 3 minutes. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I don't even know what you... I didn't hear Cam's joke that you high-fived him over because the music was in my ear. But we were talking about Jerry Jones during the break and breaking down maybe who... If he wasn't the most pretty owner in the NFL, who was? And then it got to Mark Davis, and then there was a joke I missed on a high-five.
That's all right. Stay off air.
Yeah, it probably should. That's a good call. We're not Radio Hall of Famers yet, so I don't think... Yet, we will be. But we're not yet, so I don't think we can get away with that. But anyway, so you'll hear from Jerry Jones, not this segment, but you'll hear from him in the final segment, so... that is just a classic and the gift that keeps on giving. Right now, to finish up hour one, again, we will have some more Royal Rumble run-ins before the show's over. Mount Rushmore plus one at 1:30. And, of course, we'll finish the show with what we loved and our worst people in sports in the final segment. But right now, let's talk some Rockets. Disappointing loss against Memphis. Not in that they lost on the road against Memphis, because you lose on the road against the number three team in the conference. A team that trails you what, or at the time, I think, by a game and a half in the division. Certainly no shame about that. But the way they lost, they should have taken like a 7-8-point lead into the fourth quarter. And I forget who it was, hit like a miracle fadeaway three-pointer to bring it a little bit closer going to the fourth. They go on more runs early in the fourth quarter. And then I think the part that just kind of broke my will or my spirit was that Fred VanVleet fadeaway three-pointer off the inbounds, which I think they tried to get to a men, but the Grizzlies played it well. And I guess the plan B was Fred VanVleet fadeaway trying to shoot over Jaren Jackson, but which not a great idea. But what'd you guys think about the finish overall in that game?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit what we've seen. I mean, really the last, what, four or five games of this, the little mini gauntlet that the Rockets had against the Cavs and against the Celtics, those three games, and then this outside the gauntlet is the game against Atlanta too.
Oh, we got another. This one I don't even know about. This is actually a complete surprise to me. This is a true run-in. All right, let's go out to the HRP listener line. Who we got on the HRP? Who we got?
It's Branham.
Branham! J-Bone. I think as a wrestling character, you have to be J-Bone. You can't be Jeremy Branham. But J-Bone, you got a Royal Rumble pick for us?
Give me Seth Rollins. Anybody pick him yet?
No. We've had two people call
and both
pick CM Punk.
Seth freaking Rollins.
Give me Rollins.
Jeremy's a fan of the Architect. He is the Monday Night
Messiah.
I wouldn't
say I'm a fan.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
I think he's gonna win.
You know what? That's on me. I assumed that's on me. All right, so Seth Rollins to win the men's Royal Rumble. What about your pick for the women's and then KO versus Cody, Jeremy?
I'll go Charlotte Flair. The Queen wins the women's Rumble, and then Cody. Kevin Owens winning that match. You kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, we can't have a Canadian win the Royal Rumble or win the world title.
No.
This is America, baby. The American Nightmare has got to retain that title, take it to WrestleMania in Vegas. Come on. Yeah, I Charlotte Flair was my pick too, Jeremy. I don't think fans are going to react well to that, but I think we're going to get the coronation of I think she's got 13 world championship at this point. They're probably going to have her pass her dad's record of 16 at some point. But, yeah, that's probably going to be what's happened. The last time Charlotte won the Royal Rumble was actually here in Houston at Minute Maid Park in 2020.
Dyke
for the world today. You remember, Sean.
You remember. Of course.
Look at that knowledge flex. Knowledge flex by B-Mac.
I know. He's like the Tim Kirchner of wrestling.
I can't do the Tim Kirchner voice. All right, Jeremy, any more predictions for us? Or you're going to run on out and call your 5,000th Cougar game of the day?
No, I'm going to run on out. Yeah, Houston, Texas Tech. Go Cougs.
All right. Go Cougs. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy Branham joined us here on the HR. Thank you, Cam. I like the little Cougar growl there.
Thank you.
No?
I've been working on it.
I was throwing in the Paul Gallant. Yes. Yeah.
No?
Huzzah! Yeah, huzzah! Our beloved Cougs. But thank you for Jeremy Branham. Oh, we got another one! My God! I thought this was supposed to be spaced 2 minutes apart. Who's running this clock? Jeez.
That might have been.
All right. Who we got now on the HRMP listener line with their Royal Rumble pick?
It's Cochi again.
Oh my God! What? He got to enter the Rumble again? What is this, Curtis Axel?
Yeah, I'm re-entering. I'm like the three faces of Foley, man. I'm re-entering the Rumble.
So is this Cactus Jack, Dude Love, or Mankind? I don't know who we got on, but Cochi, what do you got for us? You got more spoilers?
Man, it's really hard to find to follow the charismatic enigma that is Jeremy Branham there. Mr. J-Bone. Yeah, Seth Rollins. Yeah, he's going to be great. Cool.
Okay.
I'm predicting.
Across the bow.
I'm predicting. KO's going to lose tonight against Cody and then enter the Rumble and win the Royal Rumble thanks to Sami Zayn.
Wow. Oh. Okay, so now we're up to three women's choices he's picked and two on the men's side. The coach is really scratching off everyone on the list.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's a spoiler. You're welcome.
He's definitely going to have the winner. He's going to have audio of him picking the winner.
I'm going to be really disappointed if the coachy goes 0-5. He's got five entrants in the Royal Rumble.
It's like
one of them has to hit.
Someone playing 10 different bingo squares.
They all miss. Yeah, that would be truly devastating if that hit. All right. Well, thank you, coach.
I also like to go to Vegas and play the roulette. Just put all of the chips on the corners. Never pick one number, but pick a bunch of corners so that way I have it all covered.
I don't know if that's a sound gambling decision. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.com or org. I forget.
What if you have a chocolate fountain Golden Corral problem?
Well, that might be a different. That might be a different 1-800 number. Yeah, I think that's.
No,
that's
you actually just called Kevin, the general manager. I got his number on speed dial.
Okay. All right. Get the coachy out of here. All right. Thank you, coachy, for picking yet another entrant in the Royal Rumble. So, oh my God. Okay. See, these are. Is someone timing these? Are we sure they're 2 minutes apart? I don't know what's going on here, but we got another entrant into the Royal Rumble. Close. Someone else making a pick on the HRMP listen line. Welcome in on the HRP listener line. Who we got?
Hello.
What the hell? What?
Very Mysterio.
I'm trying to remember whose theme that is.
It doesn't help that it's so hard to hear.
It's so hard to hear. All right, come on. Who do we got on the HRP listener line? Okay, you're going to have to help.
I guess they just wanted to play the theme song. They didn't want to give any right. information, I guess.
Okay, I guess that was their pick. I didn't recognize. That sounded like someone from ECW, but I couldn't recognize the theme song. Well, this has really gone off the rails. There's been more run-ins than I expected. I had planned some of them because, you know, I got to book this stuff. But man, this has gone off the rails. So, Rockets.
Don't you mean gone off the ropes?
See? Look at Cam. Look at the big brain on Cam. All right. Look at Sports Entertainment Cam Smith over here.
Ha! Psych. I've always known about wrestling.
Wow, that was an amazing long con. I'm not sure what the payoff there was for you, but that was an amazing
joke. That joke, right there.
He's been planning it for months.
Years. I'd
Years.
Say.
So
Rockets.
Yeah, so we were talking about the Rockets and the closeout of the Grizzlies game. I mean, I guess the question is, and we do have to factor in that Alperen Şengün wasn't available, so maybe he's the answer in these situations. But I think one of the questions that Rockets fans are answering or asking themselves, despite obviously a season that's been better than we expected, is who's the closer? Because we've seen even in games, these impressive wins against Cleveland and Boston, we've seen them going to the fourth quarter and go through long stretches in the fourth where they give leads back and make it close at the end. It's obviously happened again in Memphis, and they lost this time, unlike in Cleveland and against Boston. But, I mean, maybe the answer is Şengün, and Şengün just wasn't there. But who would you say is their best option as, like, a closer down the stretch?
I think playing through Şengün is what they have done in the past, and I think that's the best answer going forward, because with Şengün, like, you can throw it to him and he can also facilitate from the low post or the high post. You can run two-man game stuff with him and Van Vliet, him and Thompson, or have Thompson as a cutter off of a post up from Şengün. So I think Şengün is the answer. That's part of the reason why the Grizz game wasn't too big of a deal for me, because, you know, the extenuating circumstances and just the fact that you play enough close games, you're just going to have a close game that you lose. Like, that's just what's going to happen. So I think that as Amin Thompson continues to develop, I think maybe long-term, Thompson or Green are definitely the perimeter options, in more of a situation like two nights ago where it's a five-second, you know, you kind of have to get the ball to someone and they have to make something happen. I think that's long-term going to be either Thompson or Green, but in the short term, playing through Şengün is what makes most sense late.
Yeah, I'm with that. I think it's Şengün, and then I think Green. I mean, I'm not upset if Fran VanVleet gets the last shot of a game, but I'm not going to say that he's...
The shot itself was
it has to be a situation.
Regardless, if it went in, it was just a horrible
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, I feel like he could have made one more move and got Jackson to bite, and then could have taken a mid-range shot. But it is what it is. And at the same time, the Rockets have played a lot of great teams and a lot of games. They've played a lot like the last 2 weeks, and I would be disappointed or nervous if we've seen the Rockets do this to a lot of really good teams, but they have an incredible record against teams in the playoffs, something like 14-4.
Yeah, so, I saw their record against playoff teams above 500. It was quite good.
They're not going to win all of them. They were still in this game without Şengün and Cam Whitmore. It's just one of those games where it just didn't go their way.
Well, I mean, Cam was playing. He just went one.
Was he back?
Yeah, he played. He made,
I know,
like,
he was out with the flu or something.
He was in the game. It was you know how it goes with Cam. Like, he takes a shot, you know, Udoka doesn't like, and he gets pulled and pouts, and that's kind of what we see. I mean, and then randomly he goes for 15 points, but that's kind of the life we've lived with Cam right now until he matures a little bit. All right, we got to get out on the other side of the break. We may talk some NFL. We may talk some Astros. Maybe more Royal Rumble winners. We'll find out when we get back. ESPN Radio, 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5.